Today we come with hearts of repentance. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God so loved the world that whosoever believes in him should not perish. Christ died for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous. God did not spare his own Son. Greater love has no man than this. Love so amazing, so divine. Please rise. Return to me with all your heart, says the Lord, with prayer and fasting, with weeping and mourning, with broken and contrite hearts. Return to the Lord your God. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord.
O Lord, hear my voice.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, but with you there is forgiveness.
Therefore you are feared.
I wait for the Lord. My soul waits.
And in his word I put my hope.
I now ask you before the Lord who searches the heart, is this your sincere confession, that you have fallen short of the glory of God, and by his mercy seek the forgiveness, restoration, and strength to live as his child? This I confess. May God have mercy on me and forgive me according to his word. God is gracious and merciful. God is slow to anger, abounding in love and forgiving sin and rebellion. God sent his only Son to shed his blood upon the cross to purchase your forgiveness. This is the love of God for you, and you can know that your sins are forgiven. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you.
Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold, whose height was 60 cubits and its breadth 6 cubits. He set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then King Nebuchadnezzar sent to gather the satraps, the prefects and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province to come to the dedication of the image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Then the satraps, the prefects and the governors, the counselors, the treasurers, the justices, the magistrates, and all the officials of the province gathered, excuse me, for the dedication of the image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. And the herald proclaimed aloud, "You are commanded, O peoples, nations, and languages, that when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, you are to fall down and worship the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be immediately cast into a burning fiery furnace." Therefore, as soon as all the peoples heard the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, all the peoples, nations, and languages fell down and worshiped the golden image that King Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Therefore, at that time, certain Chaldeans came forward and maliciously accused the Jews. They declared to King Nebuchadnezzar, "O king, live forever. You, O king, have made a decree that every man who hears the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoever does not fall down and worship shall be cast into a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom you have appointed over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, pay no attention to you. They do not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." Then Nebuchadnezzar, in furious rage, commanded that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought forth. So they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said to them, "Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that you do not serve my gods or worship the golden image that I have set up? Now if you are ready when you hear the sound of the horn, pipe, lyre, trigon, harp, bagpipe, and every kind of music, to fall down and worship the image that I have made, well and good. But if you do not worship, you shall be immediately cast into the burning fiery furnace. And who is the God who will deliver you out of my hands?" Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the firing furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up." The Nebuchadnezzar was filled with fury, and the expression of his face changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He ordered the furnace heated 7 times more than it was usually heated. And he ordered some of the mighty men of his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their cloaks, their tunics, their hats, and their other garments, and they were thrown into the burning fiery furnace. Because the king's order was urgent and the fire overheated, the flame of the fire killed those men who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell bound into the furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar was astonished, and he rose up in haste. He declared to his counselors, "Did we not cast 3 men bound into the fire?" They answered and said to the king, "True, O king." He answered and said, "But I see 4 men unbound, walking in the midst of the fire, and they are not hurt. And the appearance of the 4th is like a son of the gods." Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the door of the burning fiery furnace, and he declared, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out and come here." Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out from the fire. And the satraps, the prefects, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered together and saw that the fire had no power over the bodies of those men. The hair of their heads was not singed. Their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. Nebuchadnezzar answered and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants, who trusted in him and set aside the king's command and yield up their bodies rather than serve and worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I make a decree, any people, nation, or language that speaks anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be torn from limb to limb and their hearts laid in ruins. For there is no other God who is able to rescue in this way." Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. This is our text. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship the image of Nebuchadnezzar, the angry king commanded that the furnace be heated 7 times as hot as usual, and then ordered the 3 men to be thrown into the fiery furnace, thinking that the fire would immediately consume them. It did not. It did them no harm. It did not burn their clothes. They did not even smell of smoke. Only the king's servants, mighty men, who were charged with the task of throwing God's faithful servants into the fire, would suffer its deadly fury. We've grown up with the story, haven't we? And while almost everyone is familiar with the story from the book of Daniel, this is not how fire typically works in the Holy Bible. The author of Hebrews tells us this: our God is a consuming fire. Throughout the pages of Holy Scripture, fire serves as the instrument of God's wrath. God uses fire to consume the wicked. When Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, offered unauthorized incense to the Lord, fire came out from the Lord and consumed them. When Korah, the son of Izhar, assembled 250 chiefs of the congregation to rebel against God's servant Moses, fire came out from the Lord and consumed them all. When the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah became great before the Lord, he rained down fire and brimstone, consuming the 2 cities. Even when God gave his law on Mount Sinai, the fire on the mountain struck fear into the hearts of the Israelites. They said, "This great fire will consume us. If we hear the voice of the Lord our God anymore, we shall die." It's not often in the Holy Bible that something is on fire and is not consumed. The burning bush is one notable exception through which the Lord God would address Moses. We are told that Moses looked, and behold, the bush was burning, yet it was not consumed, for the Lord was in the fire. But that's not the only example. The 3 men in the fiery furnace, of course, is another one of those rare exceptions. The text tells us that the hair of their heads was not singed, their cloaks were not harmed, and no smell of fire had come upon them. The only thing consumed by the fire? The ropes which had bound them. It begs the question, how were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego preserved from a fiery death? When King Nebuchadnezzar looked into the furnace, he saw a 4th man standing there with them, who looked like a son of the gods. And if you look at the original Hebrew in which it was written, there's another way in which this can be translated: the son of God. What do you think about that? How appropriate, since it is Christ, the son of God, who keeps us safe from God's fiery wrath. Faith. Faith led Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace. And faith leads the Christian directly into the fire of repentance during the season of Lent, as well as it should every day of our lives. For the fire of repentance purifies us And it helps us to amend of our sinful ways. So today we're going to talk just a little bit about that fire. The Holy Scriptures provide us with two different descriptions for fire. And our understanding them both will enable us to think about these matters, to enable us to think about repentance, and to think about it in two different ways. Now first, repentance means that we are totally consumed by God's fiery wrath. And therefore, we have to be resurrected every day. Second, repentance means that we are not hurt at all by God's fiery wrath, but only the ropes that bind us are burned away. Of course, when we talk about repentance as being death and resurrection, the image which immediately comes to mind is that of water, not of fire. When Luther explains in the small catechism about the sacrament of holy baptism, we learn that baptizing with water indicates that the old Adam in us should be daily drowned and die with all sins and evil desires, and that a new person should daily arise to live before God in righteousness and in purity forever. Therefore, in baptism, we speak of the Word combined with water. But we must understand that the same point can be made using fire. By daily contrition and repentance, the law of God reduces us to ashes, and the gospel raises us up from those ashes. Who's familiar with that mythological bird called the phoenix? The bird which once burnt to ashes and then rose again to new life. Mythology, yes. But this image would sometimes often be used by the early church in order to describe the resurrection. So, to say that we are completely consumed by the fire of God's law says that there is no part in us which is left unmarked by sin. Think back to last week. When the Ninevites repented, the whole city repented, from the king to the very lowest of animals. And likewise, my dear friends, when we repent, we confess that even the best parts of ourselves, even those parts of which we are most proud, are no less marked by sin as well. C.S. Lewis once said that our highest desires are at the same time our most dangerous desires, because those desires are that high, and therefore can be easily confused with that which is divine. Think about it. Consider, what could be higher than a mother's love for her child? Who could imagine that a mother's love for her child could be anything but of the highest good? But when the worship of that child eclipses her love for God, that can be selfish and it can bring devastation. Lewis imagines a woman who loved her child so much that when he died, she kept the furniture in his room in place for 10 years. She could not let him go, even though it was destroying the husband and daughter that she still had. And Lewis also imagined a woman who loved her child so much that she could not part with him. So she made sure that he would always be with her, even in hell. Love? I don't know, perhaps. But truly a twisted and selfish kind of love that excludes God and ultimately leads to fiery destruction. And that, my friends, is why daily contrition and repentance is essential. Every part of us goes into the fire every day and is burned away so that God might raise us up again from the ashes, so that we might walk before him in righteousness and purity. Now, perhaps the thought of God's all-consuming fire is frightening to you. If that's so, I want you to fear not. Instead, be aware of the other way about which we are to think about daily contrition and repentance. That which tells us that we are not hurt by the fire of God's wrath at all, but only the ropes which bind us and are burned away. Think way back and recall how God created us good and implanted in us the natural desires we have. And then sin entered in, which is the twisting of those good desires which God gave to us. So it's as if sin has wound its ropes around our healthy desires and dragged them off in a direction God did not mean for them to go. And of course, we as Christians wrestle against sinful desires. We as Christians desire to be free and to be the people that God calls us to be. And we as Christians also desire to hold on to some of those things that tempt us and entice us. But we as Christians can have no role in determining which parts of us remain and which parts should go. And as for this flesh, there are no parts worthy of salvaging. And of this, St. Paul would write in his letter to the Romans, "I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh. For I want to do what is right, but I cannot do it. I want to do what is good, but I don't do it. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it." There you have it. Sin lives within us. This flesh is permeated with sin from top to bottom, inside and out. The sinful desires which bind us must be completely consumed by the fire of repentance, so that you and I can live freely within those boundaries God has created for us, where you and I can truly flourish. Everything else must go into the fire. For the fire of repentance is good for us. The fire of repentance is a blessing to us because it helps us to become who we truly are. We are sinners who need to be cleansed by the good and holy and refining fire of God. And of course, I know fire can also be a terrifying blessing as well because of its great and incomparable power. And that is why today we recall the fourth man who stood in that fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the Son of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, just as he stood with them then, he stands with us today. And because he has already been consumed by the fire of God's wrath and has rose up again from the ashes, those fires can do us no harm. The fire of repentance can only purify us, refine us, and prepare us for the life to come. We look forward to everlasting life with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I invite you to rise. Hear my prayer, O Lord. In the day of my trouble, I call upon you. Hide your face from my sins. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away from your presence. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Because your steadfast love is better than life. For you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings, teach me your way, O Lord, that I may walk in your truth. I give thanks to you, O Lord my God, with my whole heart. May all who seek you rejoice. May those who love your salvation say,
God is great.
Save your people and bless your heritage. Give ear, O Lord, to my prayer.
Listen to my.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless us, defend us from all evil, and bring us to everlasting life. Amen. Please be seated.